My name is Beanstocks. I'm a service user expert for Pathway, and I'm looking forward to hearing how other countries deal with homelessness and substance abuse compared to how we do it in this country. Here's the first person that's caught my eye so far at the conference. Could you introduce yourself first?
I'm David Stuckler. I work at Oxford University, where I lead a research team on social protection.
And you used Iceland and Greece as examples. Do you think they're different approaches to the recession, or because of their cultural differences or population size, or what?
I mean, what ultimately matters for people who are struggling to get by and keep a roof over their heads, hold it together, are the policies that are put in place by governments, whether to support or, in times of hardship, to rescind those supports. And what we see in Greece and Iceland are two very different contrasts. In part, the choices were made for different political and cultural reasons, but the bottom line is Iceland increased its support to rapidly rehouse people who lost their homes. Greece did the opposite, and the contrasts are now being seen, where the escalating numbers of homeless persons in Greece, where we've seen no rise in Iceland.
And did you agree to come to this conference because you think this can actually make a difference with the way the government approaches these issues?
Absolutely. People will critique conferences saying, well, there's just a lot of words, there's a lot of talk. I think that's why it's so important that you're here. And we've just heard in the conference how important it is for us to work together, people who are experiencing on the front lines what it's like day to day, people like myself who have the opportunity to step back and take kind of a helicopter view and look at what's happening, to get the messages to politicians, people who are making choices and can make a difference, and hold them accountable for when what they do works, and in other cases when it doesn't.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Hope that helps.
Cheers. Okay, so we're halfway through the conference, and it seems to be going very well so far. Lots of interesting speakers. I've learned a lot, and I hope the rest is just as good as what's come already.
Hi, my name is Ingrid van Beek. I'm the director of Kirkton Road Centre in King's Cross in Sydney.
And when you were talking earlier about medically supervised injecting, is that a doctor prescribing diamorphine, or is it people just coming in with their own drugs and being supervised on how to inject?
Yes, that's right. It's the latter. It's I guess we see it as an extension of the needle syringe program, where not only do people get sterile injecting equipment, they're also allowed to inject on the premises in a clinical setting, thereby reducing the risk of overdose and transmission of bloodborne infections, and hopefully also forming a relationship with the service and being able to get assistance as needed.
And that's been going for 25 years?
No. So Kirkton Road Centre, which is a targeted primary healthcare centre which does almost everything else except supervise injecting, has been going for 25 years. The medically supervised injecting centre was established in 2001, so has now been going for just over 12 and a half years.
If that happened in this country, the police would say, would arrest everybody for condoning drug taking. And so how did you get past that kind of thing?
Well, in fact, the New South Wales Police Commissioner is one of the licensing authorities, along with the Director General of the New South Wales Health Department. So police are in partnership on this project. I guess it is a pragmatic position on their part. They've already had many years of experience as far as policing around needle syringe programs and other services for drug users. But yes, I guess this is the first one where necessarily everybody walking in are in possession of drugs. And whilst it's not considered that we can offer refuge to people who, for example, the police are pursuing, who they know are in possession of drugs, they don't specifically target the facility from a perspective of trying to nab people in possession. So special legislation had to be passed, which in fact makes it legal to be in possession of a small personal quantity and to inject on the premises, and for staff on those premises to be exempt from aiding and abetting laws. But yes, until you get to the threshold, you still are at risk, but police have guidelines so that they don't actually sit on the doorstep, because obviously that would undermine the entire facility.
And would you say you've had an effect on hepatitis C and and HIV, and has it made a difference?
Yes, probably its biggest impact is in preventing morbidity, mortality associated with drug overdose. So,
could you give people what's it called? Naloxone.
The Kirkton Road Centre gives naloxone. Yeah. So we work sort of in a complementary way, so that, you know, because of course even with an injecting facility, people aren't always going to inject at such a facility, and injecting is a 24-hour activity, whereas the service is only open for 16 hours a day. But together we hope to reduce, you know, risk of overdose. And yeah, over 5,000 overdoses have occurred at the supervised injecting facility, and all of those have been promptly and effectively treated. And you know, it's difficult to translate that number into the exact number of lives saved, but we have no doubt that it's a lot.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. So now we're at the end of the conference. Clearing up is halfway done. And my overall thoughts about the entire thing are that it's going to make a difference. People seem really, really, I don't know, energised by it, you know? I hope that something will be done about all the problems that have been highlighted at this conference. And I hope I'm invited back next year.